Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Today I have two guests. They are husband and wife power couple, film producers Dwayne and Antoinette McCoy. They founded Legend Studios in 2013, and their film credits over the past decade include films like 7 Years, New World Order, The End Has Come, and this year they have another film coming, New World Order, Dark Prince. It's described as a suspense thriller, and it'll be showing in select theaters nationwide, but they're going to tell us all about that in a bit. So welcome to the show, Antoinette and Dwayne.
Well, thank you for having us. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. It is always wonderful to have folks that do things in the film entertainment business and also with that faith-based entertainment twist on it. So I am just delighted to find out about who you are, what you do, why you doing this and all that, you know. So Antoinette and Dwayne, you are speaking to me today and you are from Arizona right now, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Arizona.
Yep, by the way of Philadelphia.
By the way of Philly, huh?
Yep, Philly, Mass.
So how does this the Philly folks get from Philly to the West Coast and now doing films? I know you've done more than films, so just tell me a little bit about that journey.
We started out in Philadelphia, independent gospel label that we ran for about 10 years ago. And then, we put some independent projects out there. And then the Lord, you know, moved us to Arizona. We knew that we were going to come to Arizona eventually. And then the time came for us to move. And so we had a few things going on in Philly that we just left, you know, like a daycare. We started.
Oh, wow. Y'all just entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
I mean, yeah, soulful restaurant. Yeah, we are. We want to pick that up later. But the Holy Spirit, you know, directed us to move to Arizona. So we got here, and then we continue, you know, after we got settled, you know, what we were doing. And then we noticed out here that there's no gospel presence at all out here. Like, no gospel presence at all. So we for a couple of years, we put on a, we called it the Arizona Gospel Music Commission, which we brought in people from the industry to Arizona to try to get something going with the gospel music in this state, right? Pretty cool, you know, with a couple of good events. We had The Truth one year. We had some big radio announcers and people that you know, prominent folk. It was pretty cool. So we were setting up to do that in 2009, but Holy Spirit, you know, just said, all right, now it's time to move, branch out to filmmaking.
Yeah.
So we branched out in filmmaking. We knew that the first movie that we needed to make should be an end times movie because, you know, as a minister, the Lord had been ministering to me since 2004 with dreams, very vivid dreams about the end times. And I know that that's a part of my ministry because the way the Lord deals with me in dreams, in revelations about the revelation. So we knew off the bat that, okay, we need to make a film about the end times, you know? And so we made a short film, and then it just went from there. We ended up coming out with a feature film. And that's how we got to this point.
That's how you got to this point. And that has to be, but you make it sound like, okay, we flowed from this to that, but it had to be difficult. Some black folks doing some faith-based film and trying to, you know, get the money to get it done, produced, and all that.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of challenges. Even right now, we're facing, like, monumental, you know, challenges. But, you know, at the same time, God is providing. You know, we're literally seeing God's provision and how that he's making it happen, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll let my wife share a little bit about some of that, too.
Okay, Antoinette.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely challenging for us because we traveled. We did our first short film, and that wound up getting picked up by Olympuset, which is a network that is a faith-based network in Florida. They called us because our short film came across their desk, and they were so impressed by that 25 minutes. The guy said, the VP of acquisition was like, this film just left me wanting more. And so we said, oh, you want more? Okay. Well, we'll have a feature film by December. Now, mind you, he called us in June talking about the short film. Now, we're self-taught, Lynn. We never went to school for any of this. We are self-taught. So we had never did a feature. So we had to jump online. My husband taught himself how to write a script. I got online, learned how to produce a movie and cast and all that good stuff. And then we came together, you know, telling each other what we've learned. And, you know, and that's how we worked together. But then when it came down to pulling the monies together for what we needed to do, it was just like, it was very challenging, very challenging. So we had to pull our own funds into it. So that only allowed us to film like one weekend every 2-3 months, okay. You know, when we was doing this feature film, this one here, we're about to release.
Okay.
We was only able to film like one weekend out of 2-3 months because it cost like $13,000, you know, to film one day.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
We film, yeah, one weekend, and then it takes us months to, you know, pay everybody off.
And then you got to go. Then do it again, huh?
Yep. Then do it again, you know, and again. So we did that for like 3 years. And then the pandemic hit, and then we felt like, oh, we about to lose everything. And by that time, we had about, 8 to 10 days in a can. Mm. So we thought we was about to lose everything. The world is shutting down. Oh, my gosh. But then, you know, the pandemic turned out to be a blessing to us.
I was going
to
ask you about how did you shift?
Yeah, how we shift was we called all the crew people and we asked them, would they give us about 30 days of their lives? You know, strictly to us, no other gigs, no other jobs, just to us. Mm-hmm. To get this movie in a can, or else we're going to lose everything that we put all these years into. And everybody agreed, you know. And of course, they knew that we paid because they were still with us all these years. You know?
Yeah,
they was with us all these years. So they was like, just give us the 30 days and we'll make sure everybody is taken care of after we get this in the can and stuff. So, and that's how we got it done, you know.
That is amazing, but the one thing that I do like about today is our indie filmmakers are no longer just waiting for the big studios to come and deliver them, and they go out there and make their own movies and build up their, you know, it's like their own following and they use their own money and then put it out there, and if it becomes successful or they start building up these numbers, then it's just like the music industry, y'all know that, then they come looking for you, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's how it worked, you know. And I mean, even one of our struggles is we tried to shop this film, this one that we're about to release, for about 3 years. We was just going up and down the East Coast for 3 years because, you know, we already have one out, distributed. It was already all over the place with the distribution company, but it was still a challenge, even though we had a distributed movie out there. It's already on Amazon Prime. It's already on Tubi. It's already in the bookstores, you know, your big bookstores. You know, it's just, it was everywhere. And even in that, we still had a challenge.
Wow, all of that and still challenging.
With that type of distribution, you really don't make back a lot of money, you know? Because the distributors are going to, you know, kick their investment back and then whatever they need to recoup. And then by the time where we get back, you know, it's pennies compared to the many thousands that they have taken in, you know? So, that left us in a position where it didn't prosper any as far as the bottom line is concerned, our bottom line. But you know, so this time we made a decision to launch our own platform.
Yeah.
So now that we're learning how distribution works, you know, more and more, and we figured it'd be more profitable to do just have it out there, distribute ourselves our own platform, and see what God do it. At least we can, which we believe is going to be very lucrative for us, you know what I mean? It's going to turn out really well. And, that's the reason why we still being in position. You know, we have a lot of ideas, but, you know, like you said, you mentioned how the studios, it takes a miracle again with them. Nowadays, they don't want to start a project from scratch.
Yes,
like,
no.
You know, this industry used to be, you had an A&R and all that kind of stuff, and the record label would start from scratch. Then, you know, then it segue into, oh, now you got to have a certain many followers or whatever, produce your own project, and they put up slap. After you do the work, they slap their name on it and distribute.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is, and it seems the film industry is working the same way. So you all had an understanding, yeah? Because you're like, oh, okay, they did this in the record industry, so doing the same thing in film. It's the same structure almost, isn't it?
Same structure.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, you know, because you know it's hard work, but in the end, it's better. You know, you do it's hard, you know, it's difficult, challenging, but you know, we believe God that when we get established and as our own distributors, yeah, that's the end of the game right there.
Yeah.
Who influenced you as filmmakers? I know you talked about working in the music business, and then, you know, God put it in your heart to go do these films. So who influenced you on the filmmaking side? Like, who did you look at and say, besides, I know y'all was doing YouTube University, but...
That's exactly what we called it, Lynn. YouTube
really?
University. Well, you know. As far as like writing and stuff like that, and directing, that started with me when I was in high school. You know what I mean? Way back when Miami Vice was the hottest show. You know what I mean? I remember I was watching Miami Vice and 18 and all this stuff. You know, the 80s shows. And then in high school, you know, in my head, I'm cutting scenes and stuff. You know, and thinking about movies. That's what I did the past time in school. You know,
okay.
No idea that I would be a director. You know what I mean?
Oh, but my goodness.
It was just in me, you know? And then, you know, writing was always something that I enjoyed, you know?
Yeah.
So that in school, you know? So, you know, when it came down to in books and stuff like that, you know, my wife gives that to me. One time I wrote a little piece of a book, you know, just an idea. And she read it. She's like, yeah, it's really good. She actually shared it with somebody else. They said, who wrote that? You know, my husband wrote that. You know, so my wife encouraged me, you know, God's going to eat you that way. You're going to write. You have that talent. You know, just and then so that, you know, when it came down to doing this film, you know, it was kind of like just pulling from those things that was already here, and then we just as far as influences, you know, I mean, you know, I like you know, your classic directors like Steven Spielberg and all them guys, and James Cameron. I guess they would be the guys I looked into most. Michael Mann always. I like Michael Mann too. I don't know, this is like his style, you know. So when it came to directing, writing scripts, I kind of read a lot of his stories, you know, like Heat, you know, and those kind of stories that I like, those action like type of
action, like because you're doing what now? The like suspense, drama, thrillers, but then you got some faith based stuff, you know, faith based wrapped into that. Why did you decide to do the genres that you're doing? And as opposed to like a comedy or some other kind of genre of film?
Okay, well, it's because I always grew up loving action more than anything. You know, I was never a drama guy, but I evolved into drama, you know what I mean? And even some comedy, you know what I mean? So,
Lynn, we got about, we have about 12 movies over here and scripts just waiting to be filmed.
Wow.
During our downtime, you know, the years that we was trying to push Newer Order and try to get financial backings for it, we had nothing to do but write. So we said, while we're in this downtime, we'll just write, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we just wrote, you know? And we still are today, more film, like he talked about the comedy. So we're developing those. But, yeah, we have tons of scripts just waiting to be filmed over here.
Because our vision is to, you know, with our platform, we want to have the different categories or genres. So,
right.
So you know, we got comedy, we got action, we got thriller, we had, you know.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everything out there is a horror, you know.
Sure.
So we definitely want to delve into all of it. And I consider myself to be versatile in that way to be able to write those type of stories, you know.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, what makes a good story, period, whether it's comedy, drama, or whatever, if you got the right stuff underneath the hood, you know what I'm saying, then a story will play out right if you have a good foundation, a really good story to begin with, you know what I mean? You know, so that's the most difficult part.
That's the most difficult part. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we pitch them to our kids, Lynn. We pitch them to our kids, and, you know, then our kids tell us, okay, I like that. That's good.
So that might work, huh?
Yeah, because they range from, what, 32, 24, you know, 21, 22, and 18. So
they're pretty much into the current stuff, the new stuff. So they keep you abreast on what's working now.
Oh, yeah, they, man.
our kids will tell us in a minute. Nope.
And then my daughters, you know, two of them are writers and directors themselves. Aspiring.
Yeah, together.
They're one of the writers, right? They both write great stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got really, really talented in that area.
Yeah.
Is it challenging to be husband and wife and have a family and then work together making movies?
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
it can be challenging, especially working together. You know, my husband and I, we're like two opposites, you know, we're just completely opposite, you know, and yes, it can be challenging, but, you know, we work through it, you know, with respect, understanding, giving each other that respect, you know, listening to one another, you know, making sure, hey, I'm stopping what I'm doing to pay attention to what you're saying to me, you know, and just, you know, communicating, you know, but, you know, we've learned each other, you know, over the years, and we're still learning each other, but we've learned to work through those hiccups, you know, and just keeping that respect there helps, you know.
Your mutual respect, and it seems to be like you all have your lives and your businesses anchored in your faith.
Yes, we do.
I was about to say that it's the Lord. You know, it's because of our faith in God, our love for Him, which compels us to do things His way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, when you run into a problem, you know, being human, you know, if you love God, you work those problems out according to the Scripture to please God. That makes you have to humble yourself, both parties, or both persons. You know what I'm saying? That's how, and then you work through it, because both want to please God, both want to, you know, love the Lord. So my wife loves God, I love God. So, you know, we got to do things right, you know? We want to be what God, He plays with us, you're just working for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Working with us, through us, for us, amen.
Yeah, yeah. And with our kids, we try to keep them involved in what we're doing, you know, because our kids played a major role also in this film coming into fruition as well, you know. So we keep them abreast and keep them a part of what we're doing. So, you know, and that's how, you know, we don't get so caught up in work, you know.
Okay.
So our kids know.
Now, your new film is New World Order, Dark Prince. So, is this like a continuation of the first New World Order?
It's like it's a different New World. It's a whole new plot, different story, same premise.
So, tell us about that, you know, the plot and story and everything. So, yeah, update us.
Well, it's basically like it follows the protagonist, who is a policeman. Police sergeant, you know, LA SWAT police sergeant, and basically, you know, he lost his son to violence, you know, and so he's you know, hurt by that and angry with God, you know. You'll see that, and as you follow the story, that you know, he's tormented with the loss of his son, so that kind of turned him to like a little bit of like a vigilante type of attitude, you know what I mean? And then so that's how we introduce him. You know, you'll see that. And then, but we segue quickly into the antagonists, which are two. We have two antagonists.
Mm-hmm.
The main antagonist, which is, you know, we call him Aldo Duca, the emperor, who he's the guy who ends up being the Antichrist. And then we have another antagonist who, we call him Damien. And he's the false prophet. So, you know, this movie is like it has multiple characters, like, so you got stories with the stories going on at the same time, kind of like a like that movie Crash back in the day, not too long. It's kind of like that type of feel where you're following three main people, you know, characters, and then it culminates into, you know, the situation with the Antichrist, and the next, you know, the protagonist is finding himself, him and his daughter, they're left behind, and then they got to deal with it. Then we jump right into, like, we kind of like fast forward into the part of the tribulation where people being, you know, you can have the mark of the beast and all that stuff. So it'll keep you engaged all the way. You know,
keep you engaged, so, on edge.
It'll make you want to, like, you know, what happened next? You know, it had that what happens next feeling. You know what I mean? Like, if you read the book, you want to keep turning the pages. So it definitely is engaging and nice pacing, you know. But the plot basically is it's all about really the plot is about the the human condition. You know, I mean, that's the moral or the spine. You know what I mean? The Stephen's heart toward God and how that God deals with him, and you know, and how he interacts with the Lord, and how he changes in arcs along the storyline. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So
it seems like it's about the Antichrist and all that, but really it's about the man's heart and how the Lord heals his heart over a period of time. You know what I mean? And it's stuff just happening to him, happened to be an apocalyptic situation.
It's sort of like Dwayne and Antoinette, like things that happen to us every day.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And living through it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, people will definitely be able to relate to that.
Yeah, that's why I think we have a good project because it was written that way to be, you know, to be able to relate and see everyday life, and so people get something out of it. You know, at the same time, be entertained.
So, who are some of the actors that you have in there? Who are your starring actors?
Starring actors is John Burdell. He's currently one of Doom Patrol for DC. Starring actors in Doom Patrol, John Burdell. Xavier Christian. Now, he's from Paris, France, so he's pretty popular over in France, you know? And then Antonio Dilemma, he's from Amsterdam. He lives in Amsterdam. He's the false prophet in the film. And we also have co-stars, Alan Parada. He was in a very late movie. What was it, Lincoln? He was in the Lincoln movie years ago. But what he does now in California is he's one of the guys that actually view the movies nowadays. He's one of those film critics. He's a film critic in L.A. And we also have Danny Chung. Danny Chung is an Asian. He's an up-and-coming Asian actor. Once you see him, you'll probably start seeing him in a whole lot of films.
Well, Danny appeared in, like, Shang-Chi, Marvel, Shang-Chi. Black Panther. Like John Patel, this guy is all over Lifetime. you know, a lot of TV.
TV movies.
He started his career. His career has been mostly TV and is the bread and butter with film. And but he appeared in many other films and stuff like that. So he's like, Matthew Drew back in 2019.
He was the star of Matthew Drew.
So you know, he's a very successful actor. Antonio had a role in This Is Us. People recognize him from This Is Us. He had a really great role in that show.
Yeah.
Series.
And a lot of other ABC.
Yeah, a lot of ABC.
They all have great credit.
They're not like, A-listers, but they are
talented working actors.
Yeah, they're making a living off of their acting.
They live,
When can we tell us about when can we see this movie? I know it's going to be released nationally, but select theaters. Do you know which cities that it will be showing in nationally already, or you got to wait and find out?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now we do have we know some cities now. Of course, it's Arizona here. The premiere is taking place on April the 26th here in Arizona. And then from there, we're in Pennsylvania. From Pennsylvania, then we're going to Virginia Beach. From Virginia Beach, then we're going to Dallas. We're in Dallas, Texas. Then we're in Huntsville, Alabama. There's some other places. And we've also been asked to come to St. Louis. So I think St. Louis will be on the map soon as well. So we have quite a few locations already, and we already have them up on our website.
So you mentioned St. Louis, which is where I am based now. Former West Coast person now in St. Louis. So we will definitely have to keep in touch because I want to know when y'all coming through the loo, as they say. Gotta let me know when you're coming through here so we can connect, meet each other. You never know. Never know. So how can people find you on social media, connect with you? What is your website? Give us that.
Okay. Our website is Legend, and we spell Legend LEGIND. So that is legendstudios.com. And so we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, and it's all Legend Studios across all platforms.
Why did you name it Legend Studios and then spell it like that?
Well, we like the name. We brainstorm different names, like, you know, and we wanted something that sounded epic, you know, and that would fit our vision.
Okay.
And what we believe to do, and they're kind of like, and so legend is the word that we came up with because, you know, we believe that we're going to do legendary type work, you know what I mean? That we expect to do, like, really above the line type work in the industry. So legend, we wanted something that had that feel and sound, sound epic in it.
Yeah.
But yet concise. Right. So, and then we changed the E and put the I because E was taken.
Naturally, huh?
Yeah, we had to put the I, which is very creative a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people like the way we spelled it.
Yeah, so it turns out great, you know, legend.
Because, you know, you got Marvel.
Yeah.
It's that word.
That one word.
Marvel.
Yeah.
Or Lionsgate,
We looked at a lot of different companies. I mean, companies out there. First of all, you have Legendary. You know, Legendary. Right. They're the guys who make, DC. We just like that thing, Legendary.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of
different names.
But we just like how it sounds.
It sounds, how it rolls off the tongue. And like you said, it fits in with your your platform, which I read that it's to spotlight character-driven original story content that sheds a light on the human condition. And then, And your ultimate goal is changing lives, right?
Yes,
exactly. We want to do that, and the Lord, we believe God has showed us how to do it in a wise way where we can embed the faith in it, and yet not be limited to just faith-based,
content. So that's like part of the overall
category,
picture.
I
yeah,
to just I'm, being looked at as just a
faith-based
company.
Yeah.
So we like to say that we are filmmakers who happen to just be Christians.
We are faith based, but you know, it's like, okay, we look at a lot of, my opinion, it's like you can only go so far. Like it's like faith based has its own area, you know, where people come to that platform for that type of content. You know, it's like, but mainstream, you don't see a lot of mainstream faith-based movies out there. You know what I mean? So we want to be able to go mainstream and reach all the world, and where all the rest of the world who are not faith-based people still be entertained and receive the message, because the way it's delivered is in a way that they can receive it, but yet the faith embedded in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no compromise on the faith-based material. But at the same time, it's a story that, so my thing is, like, you make stories that deal with the human condition and that people can relate to, that will always work with any kind of audience. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And they won't have a problem with the faith if you know how to deliver it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It's all depends how you deliver
it. That doesn't preach to them.
Right.
Doesn't, you know, won't turn them off. You know what I mean? Because the first thing they'll do is say, oh, that's a, you know, religious propaganda. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So trying to avoid that caveat of being labeled as religious propaganda. Well, then Christians are going to reach the world, they got to be wise in how they go about it, how they make their films.
Mm-hmm.
Are you making films? Unless you're making it just for your faith-based community, that's totally fine. If you're making it just for that, we don't want to just make it just for that. We want it to be for that, and we want others to come
and beyond,
and learn about the Lord. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And receive Christ and see God from a perspective.
Yeah.
That they wow, I didn't know that. Oh, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? You know, I thought that, the Lord was so cool. Oh, wow.
Well, you know, Dwayne Antoinette, I'm listening to you, and what's rolling in my head is like, oh, okay, it's the music industry thing, how that worked very similarly. You know, they're put out the music that resonates across genres, but the core of it, that message, was something dealing with faith, but it crossed over, so it's essentially a crossover project.
Right. Like Kirk Franklin.
Okay.
Right?
You're absolutely right.
He's able to reach the masses. I mean, he still kept to the truth of his faith. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, you know, kind of like that kind of way of, because that's what we would do.
With film.
Yeah, it's really simple. It's like you just don't have to lace your whole movie with verses of scripture often. Or in my case, a lot of unrealistic, you know, verbiage or whatever. Stuff that people don't, in real life, you know, Christians don't walk around quoting scriptures. Me and my wife don't, we Christians, we don't, well, the Bible said, thou shalt be heard of, like, that. Come on, man, we just, every day, you know, talk, you know, like, okay. We're Christians, it's like, oh, yeah. You go too far with it.
You can be, but you know, I'm gonna stop in a minute because I keep talking. But movies like Heaven Is For Real, which grossed like 91 million, you had like God Is Not Dead, that grossed like 60 yeah. million. They were faith based films, but it wasn't like full of scriptures and things. They were talking about life and right. how people were living and their condition. Right. So I got you. But thank you so much for joining us today, Antoinette. Ned and Dwayne McCoy.
Fabulous. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Legend Studios. And their film is New World Order, Dark Prince, and it's coming out in April 2023. And thank you, audience, for joining us today, as always. Make sure that you subscribe right now to this podcast so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting content. Now, if you'd like to reach me, connect with me, Lynn Woods. You can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96, or Facebook, just Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.